Would you kindly turn this evening to the Gospel by John and chapter 14. The Gospel by John and chapter 14. Now, those who were at South Main on Monday evening, you'll remember that we dealt with the subject of chapter 13 in relation to the matter, as I have loved you, so that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Could we look then this evening at chapter 14 and see another side of things altogether? We'll read verse 13, "And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Could we read the text again this evening? That is verse 15. "If ye love me, keep my commandments." May the Lord bless the reading of his word to all our souls. I am sure that those this evening who read at all and study the things of God, they'll check up in the various translations of the Bible. There are some of them quite sound and others are not so sound. But in the Amplified, you will find the rendering of this verse 15 of chapter 14. You read words like this: "If you really love me, you will keep my commandments." So the idea in the passage is that there is a genuineness and a sincerity marks everyone who really loves our Lord Jesus Christ. It has been to our enjoyment and profit to notice in the Word of God those who really have loved the Lord, and those who have really proved that they love the Lord. You know, love is not in word, but in deed and in truth. And the cost of proving this has been immense to the people of God. No sacrifice has ever been so costly as that that was asked from Abraham, the friend of God, to prove his love to God. For you remember the end of that most serious trial. God's word is this: "Now I know thou lovest me. Now I know thou fearest me, for thou hast not withheld from me thine only Isaac, whom thou lovest." You see, in the context of that chapter, you'll find that there is a question being raised. The Lord did tempt Abraham. That is, the Lord did try Abraham. You see, there was an underlying feeling that possibly Abraham was taken up with the blessing. A possibility that his heart was overcharged with that which had come, even though he was a child of promise. How strange it is in the Bible. I was thinking very seriously tonight as our brother spoke about Hannah, how difficult it was for Hannah to have a child. How easy it was for Penani to have children. How easy it is for Hagar to have children. How difficult for Sarah to have children. How difficult for Rachel to have children. How easy to have Leah having children. How difficult for others to have children, but not Elizabeth. You see, there's a little thing we've all to learn. That the children of the flesh come quite easy, but the children of promise come very, very slowly. We would love to make hundreds of converts, but you know, God's got a way of doing it all himself. And God is very choosy with who comes into his family. For is it not his home that's going to be populated with them? For the children of promise and the seed of promise, they always come after great times of trial, great patience exhibited. And that's what we were hearing tonight. We're going to see the progress of a man that moved on in utter obedience to God, not when he was in the bloom of his youth, but when he was round about 125 years of age. At that time, he showed to God that he loved God more than he loved his son. You know, the demand that was made upon him is this: thy son, thine only Isaac, whom thou lovest. He had another son, Ishmael. But thine only Isaac. Oh, Isaac is so dear, so sweet. Isaac is the child of the promise. Isaac in whom all the covenants will rest. You remember the end of his old life? He separated all his children and put them away from Isaac. And he gave all things into Isaac's hands because he is the child of promise. This demand was for thy son. You know, he had made sacrifices all his life. He had sacrificed Mesopotamia, says Stephen in Acts 7. He had sacrificed his old father at Haran. He had sacrificed his own brother at the same place and left and moved to Lot. He had sacrificed Hagar as well. This man was not, trial was not unknown to this man. This man had been sacrificing all his life. This man had been separating himself all his life. You know, there's more than one point of separation. And do you know the highest point of separation? Is separation unto the Lord. And once you get separated unto the Lord, we'll have no trouble with you with other facets of separation. Once you get separated unto the Lord. You ever read Numbers chapter 6? If any man or any woman vow the vow of a Nazarite to separate himself unto the Lord. We were talking tonight, Mr. Hutchinson was talking tonight, about a woman Nazarite. That's what he was talking about. That's what Elizabeth is in Luke 1. That's what Mary is in Luke 1. These are all spiritual Nazarites. They've separated themselves unto the Lord. What I want to say to you tonight is this, that this man had sacrificed all his life, but last of all God took him to a point in his experience, to the very child of his heart, to all that he loved. And he was a child of divine origin. He was born out of nature altogether. And yet God says to him, I want your heart. I don't want your eyes to be set on anything else that's earthly. I want you to know, I want you to love me more than anything else in this life. You know, the most of men crumble. And I say this with great modesty, the most of men crumble when it comes to that which is nearest their heart. And I can understand that, but that's where we all fall down. We seem to be able to separate ourselves from this and that and the other. But whenever it touches us and our flesh and our home, then we don't seem to be able to bear up into the wind of affliction. But here's a man a lot less younger than you. 125 years of age he is. For wasn't he 100 when Abraham was born and his wife was 90? And this young man's about 25 years of age at this time in the chronology. Well, here he is, and God is speaking to him. You know, when God asked him, the demand was great, and the distance was quite unique. I want you to go 3 days' journey. 3 days' journey. To fulfill the commandment, I want you to go 3 days' journey. Some very clever people, I couldn't see it, I haven't as big a mind as that, but some see it as the 3 days, as the death and burial and resurrection of Christ. If you've enjoyed that, well, all I can say is that it's wonderful speculation. But what I do want to say to you is this, I thought that the distance was time to give him, was to give him time for reflection. You know, God wants a willing sacrifice. God never drives us. God never forces us. God wants people to come to him in their heart. You know, God wants people to come to truth in their heart. You know, once some people get a hold of the truth of God, they would nearly take whips in both hands and bring everyone into line with themselves. But you know, it's better a volunteer than a conscript any day. God gives this man time for reflection, whether he was going to go all the distance or not. You know, the Bible says concerning others, they had opportunity to return if they wanted to. God is not a taskmaster. God wants our hearts. He wants obedience. But he wants willing obedience. He wants heartfelt obedience. He doesn't want us just to obey the letter of the law. God knows the letter of the law will not hold us anyway. If you don't do it in the spirit of the law, then it's quite useless, really. You're just like a lot of robots. And so he gives them 3 days. 3 days to cogitate. Maybe that's too big. Or meditate, whatever you want to call it. 3 days to think it, mull it over. But on he goes. What a distance. You know, that added to the pain of it, didn't it? You know, sometimes if a thing comes, and it's there, and we face it, and we get over it, but when the thing's 3 days before us, the operation. Some tragedy just before us. You know, the days add more pain. But bring more glory to it. For the thing was the subject of the man's thoughts day and night as he traveled. Would he or would he not? And so the deed was reflected upon. Time to think. The determination. To fulfill it was evident. Oh, these matters now touch my soul. At every step this man has taken has a determination in him. It seems to be on his face. It's on every breath. And every touch now of the story is an evidence of determination. That whatever the outcome, whatever the pain, or whatever the sacrifice, I'm going over. I want to show to God that I love him more than things, more than my son Isaac, more than anything else in this life. Hasn't he traveled a long way, not knowing when, not knowing how, not knowing where? He's proved God already. And the man that has proved God already can move on. Is that the shield of faith? I know lots of you have been worrying for years what that shield of faith is. You can get all the rest worked out, can you? What is the shield of faith? The shield of faith is to put up that shield. It was a full man's size shield. And put it up there before the fiery darts of the devil. Say to the devil, I proved God. I'm not afraid of the outcomes. That's the shield of faith. Showing to the devil that you have a trust, dependence, and reliance upon God. And that you can easily and safely stay behind that shield of faith when the fiery darts of the evil one are flying. I thought that his confidence in God was immense.
His confidence in God's
was immense.
We're talking about somebody now that nobody hardly knows anybody about in assembly fellowship. People whose confidence in God
is immense.
Whose trust in God is big. Who really believe that he shall keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. My, we have confidence in everything and everybody else. but God. It brings a calm upon a man. It takes all the excitement out of a man. It takes all the harassment away from a man. It gives him a calm without the pills. It gives him a calm without the potions.
Oh man, we'll do anything anywhere.
Everything must be in relation to God.
Did you ever notice Paul's word in Corinthians? Have I in Barnabas not a right to lead about a sister, a wife, even a Cephas, and other of the apostles? What is he saying there? He's saying she's a sister before she's a wife. She's mine before she was thine. Now wouldn't that heighten the altitude of thinking in marriage life and family life? We'll never have proper relationships amongst us until we see things from God's side of the altar. Think about them the way God thinks about them. See them how God sees them. Listen to these words, and with this I close, but I know I would love to have spoke about that ram, that unblemished lamb caught by the horns in the thicket. Oh, it's Calvary, isn't it? The ram in the thicket is Calvary. What a thicket was made up for our sins. And it's an unblemished lamb, because if those thickets had gathered around its fleece, you'd have seen it on the skin when you took the skin of the sheep. You'd have seen the marks on it. But when it's the thicket on its horns, it's an unmarked, unblemished lamb for the altar. Is someone, are you not about finished yet? Well, what a thought about the lamb, that ram was. God wants a mature surrender. You know, the ram is different from the male of the first year. A ram is different. A ram is something growing. It's a mature surrender to God. Oh, this was a mature surrender to God. This wasn't a little boy being at a missionary meeting and saying, I'm going to Abu Dhabi, I'm going to Zanzibar, I'll get all the books, I'll get all the crates out. It was not at all. This was a mature. Did you notice that Paul and Barnabas were mature men? Proven men! Did you ever notice that all the apostles were old men? Proven men! Working men! It's a mature sight. They learned a new name, a new facet to God's name. It says, well, this is Jehovah Jireh. Isn't it lovely to learn another thing? I've learned some things since I come here. Hey, someone, what did you learn? It was so noisy here. Tell us what you learned. And I'm not going to tell you, because you may get all vain and puffed up about it. But I've learned things. Oh, to learn another facet to God's nature. Oh, to see another side to God's character. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, will provide. What a beautiful night we could have on that. You know, you got a new revelation after this. In blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thee. Thy seed shall be like the sands beside the seashore innumerable, and as the stars of the heavens. Oh, the blessing that come out of the sacrifice. Oh, the blessing that come out of obedience. Revelation. New visions. God's character. God's promises. All because he came in symbol obedience. It was as if they heard God saying to them, as if he was in the good of John 14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You know God's commandments are not grievous to a spiritual mind. He loves them. He loves to bow to the yoke that God has put upon him. Even his chastenings are lovely. Even his scourgings are lovely. Every trial draws him nearer, every stroke but makes him dearer. Bless I then the hand that smiteth gently and to heal the lighter. Is against my sins he fighteth. Peace is mine shall be free. Our Father, we come before Thee and we bless Thee again for Holy Scripture, whether in the old or the new. We thank Thee Thy revelation is known. We bless Thee, O God, Thy character is the same, whether in the new or in the old. We bless Thee for revealing to us Thy fatherhood, Thy gentleness and Thy tenderness. We thank Thee for proving it in our own lives, that Thou art a loving, caring, tender, gentle Father. O God, we would love to take on Thy makeup. We would love, O God, as obedient children, we would love to show the features of our Father in respect, in tenderness, in approach, in approachability. We would love, O God, before we get away from this old world, we would love to have more of the lovely features of Isaac, our Lord Jesus. We would love, O God, if His tender, willing obedience might mark us. We pray, O God, that our deep respect for Thee and for each other might grow. We pray that we might honor our brethren and honor our fellow servants and appreciate all that they have tried to do in Thy name. And we pray, O God, that even in our little time, we might be used of Thee to bless and help and succor and even warn the people of God. We pray that none of us shall die miserable and unhappy. We pray that we might finish our course with joy, and we pray that we might be full of desire to find ourselves obedient to the will of God. Bless the assembly here, bless the dear ones that have come, the miles that have been traveled, and all the time that has been spent. O God, make this meeting memorable to everyone. In the Lord's name.